Good evening and welcome, everyone. So sweet to sit with you. Such a wonderful place to be quiet and still. It was built for that. It's amazing. Thank you, Quakers. So today is Juneteenth, and I had kind of forgotten, but in 1865, 158 years ago,
you're muted.
I don't mean to be muted.
Get Carlos to unmute you. There you go.
Thank you, Carlos. Takes the whole community, you know?
Yeah.
Takes all of us. So again, welcome. Again, and again, may I say how sweet it is to sit with all of you in such a nice space. The Quakers know how to sit. Do they not? So today is Juneteenth. It's a national holiday. In 1865, Union soldiers came to Galveston, Texas, to declare that slavery was over. And so that was the first of Juneteenth. And then in 2021, our President Biden declared today, Juneteenth, as a national holiday as a result of the killing of George Floyd by police in Minneapolis. So it's a day of reflection. It's a day to remember, and I'm going to talk about remembering and how important it is to remember. And it's not an easy thing. But one of the things that Tanzania says, let me quote him, awareness is the ground that allows wisdom to arise over and over again. This is why we need to be aware from moment to moment. Because new understanding pass away, just like everything else. So do we need to remember? We know we happen to be in a mind and body, the human being, where that occurs. Even if we really wanted to be in the present moment, we're not set up for that. So remembering is a very important part of not only in the things like Juneteenth, but particularly in our practice. Why? Well, we forget. And we forget. So we bring remembering into our practice. Why do we forget? Well, who knows? We have to ask the universe that, but we do know that things change faster than fast. And that includes us. We are not who we were a minute ago. You think, can that be possible? Well, I don't know. But we do know, we have enough data to know that things change very, very fast. And that wisdom is important because it's reminding ourselves of things that we naturally forget. So, because why? Well, one of the things is that the Buddha teaches is that each moment is fresh. There's a freshness in each moment. And even though we have and certainly do experience that at times, we have distractions. And these distractions come from our conditioning, from birth. And so we forget. And we forget one of the most important thing about our existence, that something we don't like to think about, but we want to remember, is that this is just a short stay. And when we live from that perspective, things are more important than if we live as if it's going to last forever. It's impermanence. And even though it's not something we want to dwell on, we want to remember and continue remembering. So this practice teaches us how to live. And through the processes and the practice, we start adding more ease to our daily lives. And I'm banking on that these teachings are going to teach me how to die. Because I'm reminding myself I am impermanent. It's not going to last. And so we think about, well, how to practice this? And we are talking about how important the teachings are, because we have to remind ourselves that what Buddha points us to are the best ways to wake up. And so he gives us the four foundations of mindfulness. We can sit here all we want to, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're meditating. Achan Cha, I love to tell this story, says a hen would sit on her nest all day long, but it doesn't mean she's meditating. And the same with us. We can sit all the time, but what are we trying to touch? Well, we're trying to touch ourselves, our real selves, our true selves. So he says four foundations of mindfulness. This is where we start. And we hear this over and over again. I teach it over and over again because I'm teaching it for the very first time. But mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of sensations that we'll talk about tonight, mindfulness of the mind, oh my, and then mindfulness of mind states. This is a way, this is a plan to get to know who we are and exactly how we are causing 99% of our own suffering. It's amazing, isn't it? So we have talked at length about the importance of the body. And one teacher, Buddhadasa, says, do not do anything that takes you away from your body. That's quite a statement. Never heard it before I read it there. Do not do anything that takes you away from your body. So we begin to see present moment living and the impact it has on us. So it's compelling. Because we begin to see the difference of living more in the present moment or living more in our heads where we're thinking about life. There's a huge difference. So everything is registered in the body. And tonight we're going to talk about mindfulness of sensations, which is the second foundation of mindfulness, because sensations live in the body. When we sit and be quiet and still, our bodies vibrate. I remember saying, Randy, my oops.
Yeah, this thing needs to be.
It needs to be, yes. It needs to be not pitched. This is Bubba. Thank you. That goes with me everywhere. But as I was saying, what was I talking about? Living in the body. So we talked about how to get to know ourselves. And one of the first things that we learn is how we sit is important. Our posture with our neck, head, and back in a straight line. That's important. You think, oh, big deal. You know, why are you making big deal over something so trivial? Well, I have to tell you, I exactly thought that myself. But what happens is it's scientific, just like everything else that the Buddha has taught. It is the most conducive way, as even though we have to go through the pain of doing that, it's the most conducive to directly clearly see what's going on. And so we've also invited you to go to our website, because there's a series of, that's Inside Meditation San Antonio or Wimberley, because there are seven meditations, guided meditations by Randy. And we invite you to do them over and over and over again. You can't do it enough, but at the same time, we don't want to bring in stress and pushing. But if we want to stay in contact with what's real, then that supports that effort. And they're not very long. So tonight I want to talk about mindfulness of sensations, because sensations lead to, when they go through the mind, feelings. And oh my, do we have feelings. Feelings. So feeling is a mental factor. It's particularly important in the development of insight. And by the design, what happens, anything that we perceive, which we all do perceive through the six senses, that includes thinking, we automatically, is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Or is it neutral? That happens automatically. So that's nature. But this is the catch. It is when we take those feelings and we create more dialogue with it, more words about it, we cling to them or we push them away. And so we begin to see that and look for that in our practice. So, in this wanting and not wanting and not paying attention, that's where we're conditioned. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to uncondition ourselves. And notice when we start grasping what we don't like and pushing away what we do like and pushing away what we don't like. Because guess what happens? It becomes more feelings that come up on top of themselves, and they go to a full-blown emotion. Now, nothing's wrong with emotions. We know that's part of it. But we also know where emotions take us. And it doesn't have to go that way. And we don't have to wallow in our emotions because we learn its true nature. We learn how to relate to our emotions where they don't take over. And then we spin them in our minds. So being attentive to these sensations you can see behooves us, and being more happy, being more at peace. So mindfulness of feelings. We've got the body, okay? Mindfulness of the body. Now we're going to, all of this is simultaneously, within this body, understand that these are feelings, and the feelings can go to emotions. We want to understand their true nature. Because when we start, it's just the laws of nature, because when we start with that understanding, guess what? We begin to have a choice. And before, we're just acting out as habits and conditioning. And we know we get tired of that. It's like, you know, nothing is going to change until we start paying attention to what we're doing in our lives. And so the practice does just that. It's just helping us see for ourselves what's going on within. So feelings lead to emotions, and that's where we get stuck. And all emotions are is we have this pleasant or unpleasant feeling, and we just take it and go with it. Then we start adding our own 2 cents worth, and we start ragging on the universe. Universe, you didn't do it right. This is the way I want it. This is the way it should be. Or we rag on the universe in the sense of, I want more of this. What are you doing? Well, guess what? That's not the design of the universe. So one of the nicest things we can do for ourselves is it's not going to happen. We're not going to get everything we want, and we're not going to have as much control as we think we have. We know that. We've lived long enough to know. But we what? We forget it. So we have to remember it and stay tuned to it. Is this true? Because it's not going to be truth for any of us until we directly experience it. So what have we done with the strong emotions? Well, we know we've stuffed them, pushed them away, pretended that they weren't there. And like Tara Brach says, your emotions are like crying children trying to get your attention. And if we don't look at them, if we don't open to them, they'll just keep coming back. I mean, I think we all could say right now, reflect on certain triggers that take us to certain reactions. And it's not fun. And it certainly is not fun now that we know it's optional. And so actually what we do is we begin to rein on everything that we begin to see, being quiet and still and open to the possibility. And we use the acronym RAIN. Recognize, allow. We are investigating. That's why we are so caught up in learning about what's going on inside, because that's where life is led 100%. And if we're not doing that, if we're not staying in the present moment and living our life experientially, then we're just thinking about it, and we create our own reality. And it's miserable. It doesn't make us happy. So let's look at our emotions. And remember, all of these things that we are beginning to remind ourselves to wake up to, they're just phenomena. They're in all of us. We all have the same range of emotions. Now, some we really favor over others, but the emotions are there, and they're not our enemies. We just have to learn how to relate to them. And then the emotion arises. You feel it. So that's part of nature. And then we can either keep it going. Oh, I can't believe that happened. You know, if I had, and if he had, but better if they all had. See what we do? We create this story and start whining to the universe about why it happened. And yet the freedom is acceptance. Seems so easy. I mean, it seems so simple. I don't mean acceptance as a victim. We don't have to be a victim. And we don't have to like everything. But accepting that we are not in control allows us the freedom to see who is. And it's nature. There are laws of nature that we have forgotten. So, and that's all the Buddha taught, was laws of nature that we have forgotten. And these are things that we can directly remind ourselves over and over and over again by being quiet and still and opening to the good, the bad, and the ugly of all life. That is the freedom. And so you practice a little bit, you get a little bit of peace. A little bit more, you get a little bit more of peace. So the practice is very, very important. It's designed to accommodate all these things, laws of nature, that we have forgotten. So the Buddha says, this is something to remember. There are 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. We want to relate to all of it. None of it is going to make us happy unless we open to it. And there's ways to relate to it by just knowing it. Doesn't it sound so simple? And that's what RAIN does. It trains us to start noticing things that we didn't know to notice until someone said, start noticing this. So, let's see. Randy, I thought you gave me a quote.
It must have got deleted.
It must have not gotten here. So, that's okay. That's the end of the talk. So what are we doing? We're working on four foundations of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of sensations that go from sensations to feelings to emotions. And we're going to talk next week or maybe next week, mindfulness of the mind. Where some teachers say is where we cause most of our suffering. And then mindfulness of mind states. We've got to see these things within ourselves, for them to be useful in understanding the impact that they have on our happiness. So happy, happy. Happy, happy. So thank you for being good listeners, and we're going to open it up to you.
It made me think, your talk made me think about drive over here on Interstate 35 tonight. It was just, anybody on 35, it was just so incredibly much, or so, such an incredible amount of traffic, just bumper to bumper, dead stop at certain points, and I could feel this aversion building up inside. I don't want there to be this much traffic, and I thought it was going to be late, so there was more anxiety. So here I'm sitting in the car, feeling all this aversion, wanting this situation to be different than it is, right? So then I said, Anita, I'm feeling so much aversion. And she thought about it for a second. She said, well, is it possible to shift? And I said, no. She said, then just pay attention to the aversion.
Yeah.
Oh, so that became my meditation practice all the way down the road. Just, what does it feel like? I can feel the aversion in here. I can feel it in my chest, and I can feel it in my belly. I could feel my grip on the wheel. So it became the practice. And so what happens over time is we start reminding ourselves, like you were saying, and we sort of get a little sense that it's not permanent, that I'm not always going to be like this, that it's passing show. And there's a little bit of that, not that wisdom in the background, right? So even though I'm not letting go of that aversion, something in the background knows, Randy, this is not going to, that's not who you are, and it's not going to last forever. And here we are. Right? So it's true. So we get more and more hints of the temporary constant change that's taking place just by paying attention. That's all. So you don't have to change anything. Just pay attention to what's happening. Like Anita said, just pay attention to it. So any questions?